You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here for hour number two, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Jason Gibbs in for Nathan Zagura. I promise he's back tomorrow. I think he's back for like 10 days, and then he's gone again for a couple. And then Wilhelm's got the Buckeye Cruise for cancer, which normally goes like 5 days, but I'm sure they'll get fogged out and be in sea for like 10 days.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
I didn't mind the extra day.
Fuck, why? Extra couple days. It was more than an extra day.
It was an extra 36 hours.
Perfect.
You got to imagine, and I know we've probably walked through this before, but you wake up with expecting to be at the port, and you wake up and you look out your window and you see water. You immediately go, huh? And then there's the announcement by the captain. We're still out here. We don't know when. We don't know this. We don't know anything. Because you have the biggest thing was you have a way to get off the boat. How are you getting to the airport and then catch your flight to get back home?
Correct.
And for my wife and I who are on the boat, we have kids. Okay? So kids had activities. That means your sitter or my mom or whoever was watching our kids.
You're far enough out that you really can't get a hold of anybody.
We can't.
Now.
So you're paying $1.50 a minute to use the stateroom phone, which you don't care about. You're jumping on their bootleg Wi-Fi to try to rebook flights and change everything. So, but at about 3:30, once we realized, because a lot of the big issue was like, yes, we were stagnant because of the fog. But there's a bridge that you have to go under.
Correct.
In the Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And it's obviously high tide, low tide. You know, you come in low tide, so you can go under the bridge. In a high tide, you're risking clipping
running
that thing.
The bridge.
Right. So after 3:30, once high tide started to roll in, which is true by about 5, if we didn't get within a certain number of nautical miles from that bridge, we were stuck. And that's what happened. But at 3:30, 4 o'clock, when they announced, we'll be spending another, it was like, ka-chish, ka-chish. The beer cans
good
popped,
night,
the bottles were popping. It was like, because all it is one big Buckeye tailgate party. You just so happen to be floating on a ginormous cruise ship in the middle of a body of water. That's all it is. So entertainment was crazy. So so much so, they're doing, because they got stuck, they're doing a bigger boat and an extra day. So you tell me if getting stuck was a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, mind you, that means more money is being paid by those on the cruise. More funds are being raised towards the James Cancer Center and hopefully figuring out that disease that attacks everybody's life or their family in some ways or someone they know, you know, which is cancer, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely a great cause. And there'll be some more vacations coming up here as we roll into February. But the boys are all back tomorrow. A Friday roundtable. Should we pick the Pro Bowl? Like, I know Nathan said he was the winner, but that opens it all back up.
And that is an ultimate – that is a super wild card.
I'm saving that for tomorrow.
He's going to say no.
I know he is.
But you, me, and the kid will say yes.
Majority rules.
The majority does rule, just like it does in the music.
Do I get a vote?
Dino, do you want to vote?
Oh, yeah.
Vote with Zagura. You're still out number 3-2.
No, I'm not voting, Bruce. I'm not voting with Zagura. I'm voting for counting the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to bring that up tomorrow.
So new opening music to throw him off. Say, well, you're done. Just to just to tease him that he doesn't have all the power and he's not always right.
Correct. Because yes. He does believe he's always right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We play that down. But he always believes he's right. All right. That being said, let's actually get into something that you might want to hear about other than what we're babbling about here. Andrew Gribble had a chance to sit down with the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, earlier this morning to get his thoughts on the week that was down in Mobile, Alabama, and his big takeaways and maybe a little insight as to what he's looking for as we approach the 2016 NFL Draft.
Well, I think what's important is that we get off to a great start evaluating this class of draftees. You know, obviously we're going to be major players in the draft, and I think the first opportunity you get to see these guys is a Senior Bowl. So to have the chance to come down, watch them practice, watch them compete, and have an opportunity to go and talk to some of these young men at night is just the start of the 2016 NFL draft season.
Yeah, you've been coaching for a while, and you've probably been to a few of these before. What makes this a unique event, and what are you looking to see from players?
Well, I think when you're the head coach, it makes it really unique because you help him pick the pieces of gold here And I think what really makes it really unique is that this is the first time these young men can all be together. They're from different teams, you know, different environments, and to watch them come together and compete against each other, watch them take coaching from a different staff and an NFL staff, gives you a feel for how these guys will be as they matriculate on to the National Football League.
Now, you've had a relationship and reputation being great with quarterbacks. And when you watch quarterbacks here, what are you looking for? What do you want to see?
Well, I want to see, one, if the guy's talent is really what it is. You know, does the guy have the arm talent? Is he a leader? You know, is he the guy that everybody kind of looks to out there? Can he handle the information from an NFL coach? Because sometimes it's a little different. And is he able to take the things given to him and be able to do a good job as far as competing and as far as executing what they're asking him to do?
And when you're looking at other positions, I know you're kind of from a 5,000 feet above approach with 100 players out here. What are you looking for? Is it things that stand out, or how do you
really zero in on particular positions, and you try to see if they have the characteristics that you're looking for. And we have characteristics that we talk about at every position. So there are some things that I zero in on, you know, exactly, and make sure that I'm seeing them. Obviously, I'm going to get a chance to really watch a lot of this tape, you know, as I get back to Cleveland. But being here live and in person, having a chance to see these young men compete and play is really important.
What's it been like to be alongside with Sashi and then also kind of getting to know a lot of these scouts who may not be in the building all that much, but they're on the road a lot during the year?
You know, it's been great, and that's probably the other biggest part of it for me, is to be around our scouts, because these guys do all the work. You know, they've seen a lot of these guys at their college campuses. They've seen them on the road. They spend a lot of time working to do this job, and so I kind of really lean on them as for advice about the player and what they've seen and what they think they are. And again, it gave me a chance to meet a lot of those guys. What a terrific group, you know, a lot of people. And then just every day is another day great, being with Sashi and learning exactly what we're trying to accomplish and what we're trying to do. And Sashi has really got a great vision for what's ahead.
Is this coming together even maybe faster than you anticipated when you took the job?
Very much so, you know, and I think it's because of the people. And I said that from day one, you know, from Jimmy and Dee, down through Sashi and Paul and the rest of the group. They've done a real good job of making me feel welcome with open arms and said, hey, look, this is what we're trying to do, what we want to accomplish. Now let's set out to do it. And so far, so good.
I know it's kind of almost a speed dating process when you're meeting with these players behind the scenes, but what are you trying to get out of a player? Maybe what's maybe a favorite question you like to ask?
My biggest question is I want to know more about them personally, you know, about what adversity have they been through, you know, in their lives, because this game is about handling adversity. Things don't always go right, you know, and how fast can a guy bounce back from something that's happened in their lives? To me, that gives you a lot of insight into what the person can potentially be, because the game of football is not always perfect. So the game of life is not always perfect, and some people demonstrate qualities that show you that they can get over the hump that way.
And just from your experience, how early are we in the process right now of putting together a draft?
Very early. I mean, this is just the beginning stages. I mean, there's no decisions that are going to be made here at the Senior Bowl, but it starts the process for us. And I think that's what's important, that we're well on our way to developing a mindset on what we need to do, you know, within this draft.
These are the players of the future. You've got a lot of players in the present. What's it been like over the last few weeks getting to know some of the players and how they've responded to you taking over?
You know, it's been really outstanding, because there's been some guys that have stayed in Cleveland and have come up and met me personally. There are some guys that have texted me, you know, which has been outstanding. You know, I never thought maybe I'd need to text all of them, but there's been some guys that have texted me, and I've really enjoyed that. And then there's some guys that I've talked to on the phone. So I'm trying through every different avenue to make sure that I get a hold of everybody on our team and talk to them. We've had some players that made the Pro Bowl, you know, which I think is outstanding. Watching Gary get selected to that is great. You know, regardless of how you get there, he's there. He's going to play and contribute. So it's been really good, you know, and also hiring our staff, you know, getting our staff in place. We're getting close to getting that behind us too. So there's been a lot of great things, a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun.
And you made the promise at your press conference. You had a lot of guys hitting you up on your cell phone wanting to join this staff, and it kind of proved to play out that way. What was the process like, and especially assembling that offensive staff that's complete?
It's been out. I mean, it was really tough because you had to whittle through a lot of people, but I think we did what I thought was the best thing for the Cleveland Browns and for our fans and for our organization. I think we hired on offense a tremendous football staff headed by Pep Hamilton, and obviously Al Saunders, you know, then you talk about Kirby Wilson, you know, and Mark Hudson and Hal Hunter and and even Al's son, Bob Saunders, you know, who's going to also help us out. And Greg Seaman, to me, was the icing on the cake because he's really a tight end. He's going to coach tight ends for us, but he's a quarterback, receiver guy, you know, by trade. So I think we were able to secure a really good offensive staff, and I'm going to feel really good about our defensive staff, too. That'll be headed up by Ray Horton.
Yeah, can you speak more about Ray Horton and what, you know, he's got a past in Cleveland that, that had some success on defense, and what about him appeals to you?
Well, what appealed to me about Ray is that he knows this division. You know, he grew up in it. He was raised in this division is a quote that I've used. Because when he was drafted, he played in this division. So, and then watching him coach in Pittsburgh, watching him coach in Cleveland, hadn't been in Cincinnati. I mean, he understands what it takes to win in this division. And when he was here before, he fielded a pretty good defense. I watched that defense improve by leaps and bounds, and I got a chance to compete against him when I was over in offense in Cincinnati. So I know what Ray's built. And I know what he's really all about, and I know he's going to bring that toughness and that mindset back to our defense.
How excited is he to be back?
Oh my gosh, I mean, he was raring to go. Me and him are going to jump in the dog pound together. We're looking forward to it.
And just, this is a convention where there's so many coaches, so many GMs you guys are able to talk and discuss. What's been their reaction about you getting this job?
You know what's been surprising to me is that everywhere I turn, there's someone who's worked in Cleveland that said, Hugh, what an unbelievable fan base. A city that's starving for a winner, and you're just the guy to do it. And that resonates with me because I believe that myself. I believe that Jimmy and Dee are giving me this opportunity because I can make a difference here. So with our staff and the organization and our football players, I think that's what we're going to set out to do. We're all about improving and winning. And that's all I want to talk about with our guys, and that's what we expect, and that's what we're going to get done.
When you guys get back from Cleveland, what is the calendar? What is next for you and the coaches?
I think what's next for me is still to finish evaluating our team, make sure we finish the staff, continue to reach out to all of our players, and then start to get ready for our off-season program, which will be coming up fairly soon. You think it's far away, but it's right around the corner. And just to make sure that we're crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's as a staff, making sure that we're prepared so when these players get back here that we hit the ground running.
How much more prepared are you for that at this stage and maybe having the mindset of knowing what to do now compared to when you took your first head coaching job?
Very much so, you know, because I've been through it. So I know what's coming and I know how to prepare for it. I mean, last year, I never forget this time, I was so worried about schedules. Just how to put schedules together when I was first-time head coach. You know, you worry about all those things. You stay up all night worrying about those things. That's not it's important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is making sure that our players, when they get back, that they understand that this is different, that this is a different opportunity for them, different opportunity for us, and that we got to seize this opportunity.
That's the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson, spending a few minutes with Brown senior staff writer Andrew Gribble. Tomorrow, Andrew sits down with Sashi Brown.
Sashi Brown!
His thoughts on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on the week that was down in Mobile, Alabama. Did you go to the Senior Bowl? You went to
I
the
did.
Senior Bowl,
yes.
Yeah.
It was an all right experience.
Yeah, you said the buffet tour and the awards tours might have taken their toll the extended season.
They did.
So
I went down expecting to, you know, play in a fun-loving all-star game and, you know, get some free stuff and, you know, meet some other guys that you competed against and go out and practice a little bit. Then it was just, like, intense. I mean, I got to learn a new defense. I got to, you know, because it's like you're under the microscope and you really have to perform. And so, and I actually, you know, in hindsight say that it probably hurt me a little bit to go in with that mentality. I probably was better off just not going at all. And just staying home and recovering and getting into my combine training.
Combine.
Yeah.
So. All right. Speaking of free stuff, we'll talk a little bit about the swag that's already coming out for Super Bowl 50 for the players
that
are involved.
Yeah, the Nike stuff is legit.
We'll talk more about that coming up in just a couple minutes when Cleveland Browns Daily returns on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here in Berea and the Dog Bowl, Jason Gibbs in for Nathan Zagura, joined by the glue of the show, Matt Wilhelm, on this Thursday. It has been a slow-moving week, my friends.
It has. It really has.
It's like my first 5-day work week in like, wow, I don't even know. Because during the season, I usually get Tuesdays off.
Yeah?
I mean, literally, this might have been my first five-day work week. Not to say that during the season, Saturdays you're working, Sundays you're working. So you really, I don't know. Monday through Friday shift, let me put it that way.
And well, now we have nothing grind. To look forward to until the draft, until
the combine.
Yeah, the combine, then the draft. Because I think we're going to, I think we might, I don't know if we're going to Indy or not for a show or two.
We got to talk to Kevin Griffin.
But I think we'll definitely be in Chicago for at least a day or two doing what we did last year, which was, that was awesome for me. You know, to get in the mix and see all the guys, walk the gold carpet and be there and interview them soon after becoming Cleveland Browns. That was nice.
Speaking of gold, obviously the 50th anniversary of the National Football League and the swag is starting to come out that the players are going to be getting. What all, you just showed me a picture of those Bose,
yeah.
Gold-plated headphones?
Yes, Bose gold-plated. They're actually gold and silver plated with the 50th, you know, Super Bowl 50 emblem on the side. You know, I subscribe to like Nike's marketing emails, and they started pumping out their gold, you know, gold edition Super Bowl 50 gear. Got me all pumped up. I was like, I'm forcing me to pull out my credit card and order some gold gear. I'm like, do I really want it? Because I'm not playing in Super Bowl 50, but the stuff was sweet. And that's the one thing that, you know, when you want to talk about perks, and for me, never having played in a Super Bowl before, I didn't know what to expect. You know, you're going to get some stuff, like just like you do in a bowl game. But like when you initially walk into your hotel room, and your hotel room is not like a room. It's like the room with like the dinette and the seating area. So I mean, you've got 700-800 square feet to yourself, which is awesome for me.
Now, when did you guys go out?
I want to say probably flew Sunday.
Okay, so you were there for a week.
We were there for a week, yes. And that's the reason why we went a little earlier is because, you know, the Packers did a great job of organizing a charter for everyone to fly out of Green Bay. And if not, they had reimbursements for flights for your immediate family to get down there to Green Bay. And they wanted us, like, because all those flights started coming in town like Wednesday midday, Wednesday evening. I think my family got in Wednesday, and they just wanted us to have all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday to just be football and your media obligations and really have a lot of time to get the good chunk of your game planning in and the refinement, because you're practicing 2 weeks, but you do dessert. You get some time off after the championship games. But once your family gets in town, you're going to get pulled in 100 directions. You know, so
just get acclimated with the city, know where you got to be.
Correct. And for us, again, it being in Dallas, it was like that first ice storm they've had in like 20 years. So if you wanted to, because at that point, I think GMC is still one of the lead sponsors. They supply you with, you and another player share a car that they provide you for the week. You didn't want to drive somebody else's car in those icy conditions. And I'm born and raised in Ohio, and I'm like,
and playing in Green Bay, by the way.
And playing in Green Bay. I was scared for my life. Like driving. First of all, the freeways, there's no cars on it because there are no residents in Dallas, Texas, driving in ice because they don't see it. So there's like five cars between Irving, where we were staying and practicing, to downtown Dallas was like a 25-minute drive. I probably passed 10 cars. Okay. I'm like, oh, I'm going 55. This is great. Black ice. You know, I've got kids in my car, you know, on our way down to the NFL Experience, downtown Dallas. I mean, but going back, walking into my, you know, your big hotel room with like, I was a Nike sponsored guy. So Nike gives you this big, amazing, you know, it was literally like a full size luggage bag, which is cool. Probably like a $150 luggage bag full of Nike stuff. So, I mean, it was probably like a $700, $800, two pairs of Nike shoes, about an $800 gift from Nike, which was awesome. I still wear them today as like the Super Bowl Uggs, because Uggs, you know, Ugg boots for men were just being created and coming about. So I have a pair of Uggs with the Super Bowl emblem. So all in all, it's an experience and stuff that I have both that I wear and that I use and stuff that you kind of put aside and I have in a special place in my basement, you know, to keep everything together as memorabilia.
Best thing you got?
Best thing I got? I would say the best thing that I got was living in Cleveland, either those Ugg boots or that luggage bag. Because that luggage bag, when I travel, I know how to pack it because I'm a meticulous packer. It's like the perfect size. I'm never over 50 pounds because I can't fit 50 pounds worth of stuff in it. And I love that luggage bag. I take it everywhere I go.
I've got one little red suitcase. I've got tons of luggage. And yet I've got this one suitcase that when we travel for the Browns, everything fits.
Yeah.
Like the shoes I need for the next day.
Yep.
The outfit. If I'm going, you're going out at night, Saturday night, you know, you're going to dinner.
You just know how to pack it and what fits.
Yep. And it there's no yes, issues, no worries.
Yep.
I can be packed in 10 minutes and out the door. Totally get that. All right, break time for us. When we come back, Kevin Bowen from Colts.com will join us, and he will give us the lowdown on the new Browns vice president of player personnel, Andrew Berry. All that and more when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here with you on this Thursday, Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zgura is back tomorrow. Back we go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, and we are joined by Kevin Bowen from Colts.com and from the Indianapolis Colts, writer, radio, TV personality. The man does everything when it comes to media for the Indianapolis Colts, and to give us a little bit of insight into the Browns' new hire, Andrew Berry. Kevin, good afternoon. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us today.
Good afternoon. Happy to join you guys.
Yeah. All right. So give us the lowdown. You know, we were able to read a lot about Andrew Berry, but who is Andrew Berry, the person that's been with this team for the last 7 years?
I mean, just a tremendous guy. I can't say enough good things about him, and his intelligence and his football knowledge speak for itself. And there's a reason, you know, he's risen the ranks here at such a young age. But I think he's even a better person. I think he's a guy that NFL organizations would love to have represent him. I know that the Colts thought very, very highly of him, and that was throughout the building, not just on the football side of things, but. I think he was someone that was very trustworthy within this opinion, within this building, whether that be a football opinion or something else. And I know ownership thought very highly of him and the football side of the building as well. So I think it was only a matter of time, even though he's only 28 years old, which is pretty remarkable. When you first meet him, you feel like he's very, very mature for that age. And I think it's a very well-deserved opportunity that he's getting in Cleveland. And personally, I'm very, very happy for him.
And as you dive into his body of work there with the Indianapolis Colts, what are some of the specifics? Like, what role, you know, was he very comfortable with there as he grew in the ranks? And what did some of the management defer to him, you know, in his expertise as he grew up there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is the fact that he not only was held on from the previous regime with Bill Polian and company, and then when Ryan Grigson came in 2012, not only was Andrew Berry, you know, kept within the football side of things, he then made his way up again into the pro scouting role. I think was the final role that he had here with the Colts. I know pro personnel was something that he dealt with, you know, scouting around the NFL. I know he did some advanced scouting as well. I'm not 100% sure on the specifics on what he did, but again, I reiterate that Ryan Grigson really trusted his opinion on a number of matters. I know the ownership definitely trusted Andrew Berry as well. And so I think that's ultimately when you look at a guy that enters, I think, I want to say 2009 or was about his first year as a kind of a scouting intern, and then to make the rise that he has here in 7 years, I think that's the thing that really stands out to me, is he's done it with multiple regimes. And he's progressively made his way up from a scouting intern, which can be a very, very low rung on the totem pole. And now he's at pretty much the top of the NFL when it comes to personnel.
Was it surprising in that building when word came out that he had gotten the job and to lose a guy like an Andrew Berry?
Not at all. Was not surprising at all. I think kind of we got word, I want to say it was kind of late yesterday afternoon, and selfishly we were all kind of mad just because we know what a great guy he is. And again, around the building as well, not just on the football side of things. But I think he really had a keen interest on what goes into an NFL organization and what it takes to be run smoothly on really every facet of the building, not just the football side of things. So I think he really has tried to prep himself for the opportunity that he's now getting in Cleveland. I think you guys are going to see that. So I think, yeah, at first people were like, oh, no, but then quickly people realized, you know what, it was only a matter of time. And, again, he is only 28 years old, but he's a guy that I think is very deserving of the opportunity that he's going to get with the Browns. And the Harvard ties there were kind of obvious once you started connecting the dots a little bit. You saw why, you know, Cleveland was attracted to him in the first place. And it was nice to see him be recognized outside of this building for what he's done, really, and the name that he's made for himself in just a few short years here in the NFL.
Do you think that because, Angie grew in the ranks there in Indianapolis, he was due for probably another promotion, and he was so moldable in the process, which is why he makes such a great fit here with the Cleveland Browns and how they're going to go about things with Sashi Brown, with Hugh Jackson, and him being the top talent evaluator, deferring, you know, only to Jimmy Haslam, that moldable state of mind as a young man, as a professional in what he's done in Indy, makes him the right fit for the Cleveland Browns and how we go about our business.
Definitely. I think one thing that you guys are going to realize very quick, he's very easy to talk to, and he's a guy that when you talk to him, you really feel like he's really, really listening and really cares about what you have to say to him. I started the organization as an intern several years ago, and you know, we were on two totally different sides of where we were in the hierarchy, and yet I never felt like he looked at me as someone that was, you know, beneath him or, you know, didn't really respect my opinion. I think he takes everyone's opinion in, and then he formulates the best decision off that. So I think when you looked at just, you heard people talk around the building about him, you knew it was only a matter of time before he was going to, you know, latch on to another team, if not get a promotion within the organization. So I think those are kind of the biggest factors and why, you know, Cleveland obviously feels like he deserves the type of responsibility that they're giving him at the age of 28.
Talking with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, talking about Andrew Berry, the Browns' new vice president of player personnel. We're happy to have him, excited to talk to him. Kevin, taking a look at your football team as a whole, this kind of a crazy year, to say the least, and yet everybody's coming back, from Gregson to Chuck Pagano. Everything seems to be in place. What changes, what needs to happen in the offseason for this team to get back to the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a crazy, crazy year. We have seen some changes on the coaching staff, new full-time coordinators. Pep Hamilton is up there with you guys in Cleveland. Rob Chudzinski now taking over on a full-time role. So I think you will slightly see a different offense, just that now Chud has had he will have a full offseason to kind of put his imprint on what he wants to do from an offensive standpoint, and he gets a healthy Andrew Luck. You know, Andrew missed 9 games last year. The only game he was healthy for with Chud was that Denver game. The Colts beat the Broncos in early November. That's when Andrew Luck lacerated his kidney and then missed, I believe it was the final 7 games of the season. The Colts also brought in a new defensive coordinator. Ted Monachino comes over from Baltimore. So you have new coordinators. You have a slew of new assistant coaches. I think those are the biggest changes. You mentioned Chuck Pagano, Ryan Grigson staying, so now it's a new staff, and I think just some new minds to try to infuse something into this team to kind of have the same, kind of a similar, I think, success. You looked at kind of what Carolina did last year. You know, Carolina really struggled, 3-8-1 at one point during the season. Then they got hot late, final months of the year, snuck into the playoffs because the NFC South was a really bad division last year, and then they've built off that momentum. So I think a big thing for the Colts from a personnel standpoint now is going to find some impact defenders. They probably need to get younger on that side of the ball, need to find some guys in the front 7. You look at what Denver's done in the playoffs and even what Carolina has done as well. Those guys really have some playmakers in the front 7. I think the Colts could find that. And for the most part, the offense brings back all your skill guys. If Andrew Luck can be healthy throughout the entire season, there's no reason why that offense shouldn't get back to really the top 5 or top 10 unit it was in 2014 with Pep Hamilton as coordinator.
Are you expecting both Frank Gore and Andre Johnson to continue in very similar roles? And then you touched upon it just briefly, but with your first pick in the NFL draft, do you think and expect it to go defensively because you're going to get a healthy Andrew Luck back?
I'll start with Gore. I think Gore is definitely going to be back. I think he showed last year that he might be 32 when you look at a roster in terms of age, but he doesn't run like it. I mean, he had some very nice games to close out the season. If the Colts can, again, have Andrew Luck healthy, that's going to alleviate, I think, some of the stress that was put on the run game last year. I mean, you really didn't have defenses respecting the Colts deep ball without Andrew Luck in the lineup. And if you look at Gore's numbers, it was not the same when Andrew Luck was out of the lineup and when Anthony Costanzo, the team's starting left tackle, was hurt for three games as well. So I think Gore is definitely going to be back. Johnson, a little bit more of a question mark. I'm not sure really what his role is going to be going forward. In terms of the draft, offensive line and offensive tackle specifically seems to be the position a lot of mock drafts, and again, it's very early, but as you guys know, it's never too early to look at mock drafts in the month of January. A lot of pundits out there have tackle pegged for the Colts at slot number 18. I'm more of a guy that's find a defensive guy, find an impact guy in the front seven. I think there's some really nice linebackers based off kind of what I've been reading, kind of what I've been seeing. There are some corners that could fall to the late teens. Defensive line is very deep as well. I don't think there's one unit of the defense that couldn't use some reinforcements for the Colts. So I'm a guy that's find an impact defender. I think you can find an interior offensive lineman in kind of the mid rounds and possibly bring that guy in to start from day one. So for me, it's defense early on in this draft. I think if you can get a young playmaker to pair with kind of Vontae Davis, a Pro Bowl cornerback, then the Colts, I think, begin to start to have something for the 3-4 defense under new coordinator Ted Monachino.
Kevin Bowen, you can catch his articles on Colts.com. Also hear him and see him on the Indianapolis Colts Radio Network and Colts.com. Also follow him at K Bowen Colts. Kevin, appreciate the time today. Continued success, and we'll talk with you, I'm sure, down the road.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. That's Kevin Bowen with the latest on Andrew Berry as well, a big hire for the Cleveland Browns as the dinner table is officially set. And now we see who the rest of the defensive coaches end up being. And then we get to work on building this 53-man roster. Matt and I back to wrap things up when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, continues on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Jason Gibbs, Matt Wilhelm. Joseph Kalars tweeted us, I know this tweet won't be read on air, but figured I would give my 2 cents. So guess what? I'm going to read it. Kevin Bowen has no clue what Andrew Berry's job is or was. I beg to differ about that. I thought Kevin did a nice job. Kevin's
right.
A good guy.
I asked for specifics, and he didn't have specifics.
It's okay. There's a lot of things that he may or may not be privy to.
But I guess we have the luxury of having Nathan Zagura, because if he's the Colts equivalent to Nathan Zagura, you ask a question, like Nathan will like put you to sleep with the amount of information that he can give you.
Nathan is well defined.
That's nothing against him.
Well versed, well learned, whatever the heck it is.
Especially about this new regime and analytics.
See, Joseph, when I'm hosting, you never know. I'll read anything. 3, the Dave Johnson, another veteran day off. Well done.
For Segura?
Yep. Ben Crow, there's a paparazzi pick of Wilhelm in Super Bowl boots. It's from Dumb and Dumber. That's getting retweeted. There you go, Ben. Thanks. Charles and Canton's an angry little elf. Browns Daily, really again? 50th anniversary of the NFL. I can understand one time, but 2 times in the same damn show. It's the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl. And if I said the NFL, I apologize. I don't think I did. But, mistakes get made. It's the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl.
We're off the cuff here, man.
We
don't get to type our stuff out and have 3 people read it before you hit enter. It just comes. It just goes.
It totally just goes. Behind enemy lines, our good friend G.I. George, Sashi Brown is the most fun I've had with a name since The Lion King, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa. let's see. I do have a serious one here. Steven Sine, do you think with the front office's track record of winning that their free agent signings will be players from winning teams? Will they go after more guys from winning teams?
I would imagine that there is a, maybe not necessarily winning teams only, because winning teams are winning teams for a reason. And as you know, as we said earlier, those winning team, Bill Polian, winning teams re-sign their good players. So it'd be, unless it's the right player that let go that's asking for too much money. But I think that we're going to have a specific guy in mind, you know, that has a certain mindset, that has a certain skill, that has had a certain amount of success, that's going to become, you know, the floor for us to pay him to become a Cleveland Brown.
So one other thing I wanted to get to you on today, you know, we're seeing all these Ohio State guys, Braxton Miller, Venette, the tight end. You know, we're seeing these guys having monster Senior Bowl weeks. Now, I recall Charlie Fry having a monster Senior Bowl week and, you know, rose his stock all the way up to the third round, started one of the worst home openers this team has ever had since coming back in 99. It was like traded for week two for a bag of footballs. So I take a look at that. You know, you got to give the workouts what they are.
You do.
But
it's a piece of the pie.
But all these guys having success, and I was asking you during the break, what was wrong at Ohio State that these guys didn't produce more or didn't produce like they are this week at the Senior Bowl?
Here's from an offensive standpoint, what I believe was the departure of Tom Herman for the Houston job.
Oh, big loss.
I think was a huge loss. I think, and as we saw towards the end of the year when Ed Warner went from the sideline back up to the box, he started calling a better game. This is what I said all year long. I thought Ed Warner called the offensive plays like an offensive line coach, okay? And I don't think conceptually, I thought early in the season that we tried to make everybody happy. Let's get a little three touches for Braxton. We got to get Michael Thomas his four. Let's get 15 for Ezekiel. Let's get so-and-so involved. Let's get a little bit of JT, a little bit of Cardell. We didn't know who we were because we were that talented that I just really think that's what limit Nick Vinette. You know, the offense is never a focal point the same way that Greg Olsen, there's an article on Pro Football Talk, he wasn't being featured in Mike Martz offenses, which is why he left Chicago, and look at the Pro Bowler he's become with Carolina. So I think for all those reasons.
All right. It's been fun, my friend.
It has.
It has. Zagura's back tomorrow. We'll make fun of him. We'll have a new open for the show. It's Friday. We're going to put the Pro Bowl in as a pick so he doesn't get confirmed on his steak dinner.
This is great.
He is going to be an angry, angry
the
man macho all day.
Man going to be angry tomorrow.
That's the best
it's
I got.
It's a solid effort.
That's the best I got.
Okay. Zagura's got you beat on
that. Oh, for sure. I mean, he eats and sleeps that stuff.
Yes, he does. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Jason Gibbs. Thanks to Andrew Gribble for joining us. Thanks to Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. For Dave DiNatale, outstanding work as always. And Matt Wilhelm, I'm Jason Gibbs. This is Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Talk to you tomorrow.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.